Come, Holy Spirit. Permeate this place. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Precious Jesus. That was a message in tongues, and someone here has interpretation other than me. Someone else, maybe you've never done it before. Just you've got that nudging, your heart's pounding. Go ahead and speak that out. Go ahead and just speak it out. If you don't have it all, I'll finish it. Go ahead. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see into the realm of the Spirit. There's life all around you. There are angels here. My presence is here. It's time for you to open your eyes and see and enter in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into my presence. Enter in and see. See what I've prepared for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of God is moving in this place right now. It's up to us to be sensitive, as Margaret was, to be sensitive and open our eyes and see what He's doing individually in our lives and in the corporate body, in this local body and in the corporate body of Christ. Father, I pray for Pastor Scott and Teresa. Lord, as he shared with me last night, he's actually preaching today in his brother-in-law's church, an unexpected door of opportunity. We pray for the anointing of God to be on him and the revival fire that burns in his spirit and his soul and his body to be transmitted to those believers in that place. I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, the true teacher who teach today, for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words that I speak into the hearts and lives of these, your people. I thank you for your hand on us and your spirit within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Gary used a word when he was leading worship today. Maybe it was in one of the songs, but it jumped out at me, tremble. The mountains, the earth trembles. I think we're going to have to use the other mic if this one keeps doing this, but I'll leave it up to y'all. The earth trembles. I'm trembling in the presence of God. It's been on me for since we started singing. Hallelujah. His presence is real here today. Whether you feel it or not, it's really irrelevant. It's here. Here, whether you like it or not, it's here. I like it. I have Gary sing that song and Anita sing that song or something about the presence of God before I share, because many times, because when we are out here or other places, because I want us to refocus on His presence. It's in His presence that I find joy. It's in His presence I find life. It's in His presence I find peace. I don't really want to be up on this platform, but I was told that Pastor Scott has to stand up here now because people can't see him, and I'm shorter than he is. At least his last name isn't mine, Midget. Oh, hallelujah to the King. But I probably won't stay up here long. Forgive me. Just look over somebody's shoulder or something. It's not me we need to see anyway. It's Jesus. There's something very refreshing, as Dan spoke to me this morning, very new that's happening in me, and I'm trying to follow that. Hallelujah. When we came back from Atlanta, I'd had a vision in Atlanta. I don't have haven't had a lot of visions. Ones I've had have been very vivid, and I know when I've had them. And I had a vision of a dark cloud in the parking lot out here. I think I shared it, actually, at some point. This dark cloud in the parking lot that formed into the form of a person. This person blew. The parking lot's out here, right? And it blew this darkness, this cloud, toward this building. And when it did, I said this. I told you. Let's go ahead.
I don't know where it is. It's in my E.W. Kenyon vest. I'm getting hot, yeah. Don't cover a monitor, Bert.
A lot of people, you probably wonder why I wear this a lot. There's an anointing in this thing. At least I think so. I've thrown it over people's heads and prophesied over them. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. This CD is going to have a lot of me sniffing on it, I think. Oh, hallelujah. So I saw us in this vision. I saw us, what this darkness was division. You might need to give me a little more volume back there. And I spoke it out here in the body, that there be no divisions among us, that we speak the same thing. You see, the enemy wants to bring division when the Spirit of God wants to move. That's good. I don't want to write that down. I'd like to hear that one again. The enemy wants to bring division when the Spirit of God wants to move. 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And in this vision, I saw us, and we didn't do it the other day, because it wasn't the right time. Now is the right time. This is what I saw us do, and I'd like for you to participate if you want to. I'd like for you to stand up, and I'd like for us, all we did was this in this vision. We pointed this way, so you can turn around and point this way, and this may seem, it's really symbolic, but it's really, It's what I saw, so let's act it out. And I heard us say, "In the name of Jesus." Let's say that together. In the name of Jesus. Okay, then you can sit down. All right, that's done. Last week I read out of God's Generals, one of the books of God's Generals on the healing evangelists, about Wigglesworth. I was actually reading a chapter in Summerall, about Lester Summerall, a passage about him, a section about him. And if I seem like I'm mumbling and rambling, I am. I'm trembling, and I'm going to enjoy it. Let the presence of God invade this place and permeate this place today. Oh, Jesus, help us. We're desperate for your presence. Hallelujah. When I was a child, probably 4 years old, things happened to me when I was 4 years old a lot in the spirit. I think I've told this before. I was playing on a Sunday morning for some reason. I think it was Sunday. I don't know what day it was. And for some reason, we hadn't gone to church if it was a Sunday. Maybe it was a Saturday. But I was playing with my little cars on the rug in front of the TV. 1960. And there was a healing evangelist on television. And someone came up and they were in a wheelchair and this person got out as he prayed for them. And he rolled the wheelchair off into the orchestra pit, as I recall it. And I'm standing there with my little car, my little toy in my hand, and I'm looking at the TV. And my mother, I said, "Mama, what's that?" I was mesmerized. I'd just seen the power of God in operation. And my mother walked up, turned the TV off immediately and said, "We don't believe in that." Years later, I was the one who was turning the TV off, said, "We don't believe in that," and she was the one going to the meetings. But Lester Summerall, I was reading about Lester, I just told you that as a side story. Lester Summerall was talking about Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, and I read this because he visited him every day for a number, like 2 years or for a long time. Not every day, but every week. Once or twice a week. And Wigglesworth told him this and or had written it down that he had gotten up every morning and for between 10 and 12 minutes or something like that, he would dance before the Lord. He would dance hard before the Lord. And so Scott and Teresa ran with it, obviously, and they stood up and said, "You need to be doing that." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it's really cool to get out of bed and dance before the Lord. And thank God you're associated with, I think, what he said, "I'm associated with God, I'm his child." So I caught wind from Gary that people had been doing this in the church, or Ed Soleil made some funny comments about it. Imagine that, Ed Soleil. And so in honor of Ed Soleil, I came up with a name for this dance. We'll call it the Wigglesworth. And Joanne and I just, we have a wonderful marriage, and we just were bouncing the ideas off each other and funny things. And she said something. I think she said, "Wiggle for all you're worth." And I think I said, "He's worth the wiggle." Talking about God. Okay. Stand on your feet if you would again. We don't want to get bored. Raise your right hand and say, "Thank God I'm a believer and not a doubter. The word of God is alive in my spirit. It's alive in my soul. It's alive in my body. Hallelujah. The word works. In Jesus' name." Turn to two or three people, shake hands with them, and tell them the word works, and I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Then you can have a seat. I need another one. I'm just crying so much. Okay. I was supposed to bring a watch up here. I have no idea what time it is. This is version number 4 of this message. Have you ever had God tell you something and then you say, oh, that's cool, and you do what God says and then you add to it? And I looked at the first version, I said, get this. I said to myself, there's not enough meat on that. Oh my gosh, There's not enough meat on the word in the Word of God. What? Hello, Bert. Wake up. So I wrote probably the best outline of a sermon I've ever written in my entire life. My wife loved it. I hated it. I was still struggling with a couple of issues in it, but it was just wonderful. It tied in. It was beautiful. But that wasn't what God said to do. So I went through two more versions of it. I have no idea where this is going. It's not laid out in points. It's supposed to be laid out in points. I've taught for years. It's not, something's wrong with it. A new song, a new thing. God's doing a new thing. Like I told Troy, we got something rolling around here. We're going to let it loose in here. Let it loose. Let go. Lay aside. Be filled. Les already taught it. Why am I even up here? Oh, my goodness. So Pastor Scott asked me, I'm really blessed, and I don't take this lightly, and I don't want this to come across. I'm glad this is part. Is this being recorded right now? I'm glad, because I want him to hear this. Pastor Scott, do you hear this? This is the Lord speaking. I want him to hear this because I don't take this lightly. I mean, I'm one of the few people that have the opportunity to get in this pulpit, and I don't take it lightly. I'm honored. I'm humbled by it. I'm humbled after 20 or 30 years of doing this and being away from it and getting back to it. They've given me an opportunity. You don't know what that means to me. So I don't want this to come across as being ill-prepared or... Because I spent hours on things like this. So I don't want... I don't want it to come across as flippant. That's not the word I want, but you know what I'm talking about. So I studied, and he asked me, he said, I want you to preach for me. He usually says, I want you to share or teach. He said the word preach. I thought, oh, glory, this will be fun. Because sometimes I get to, I'm not a preacher, but sometimes I get to preach, get the preach on me. but this was different. It was different. There's something been happening in these digging deeper classes we've been teaching. And maybe we'll continue on with some of that anointing. But listen, these four or five scriptures just came to me. Just the several scriptures came to me. And it was only part of, like even part of a verse. And I said, oh God, but you know, it's like I'm taking them out of context, but I'm really not. If you read them, go back and read them in context if you want to. I'm not going to today. I just want to give you what God shared with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. We'll call this, Joan said, call this people get ready. People get ready. The subtitle is let go, which Les already said. He used the exact words. 2 Timothy 3, 5 from the New American Standard. Holding to, I mean, I've taught the whole passage, but this is not what I'm supposed to share. I'm supposed to share this. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I'm not even supposed to read the last part of that, but avoid such men as these. I'm not supposed to teach on that, but just look. Holding to, everybody say, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Now, the King James says, which I'm more familiar with, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness. The word form means a resemblance. I don't want a form of godliness. I despise that. Denying the power thereof. A form of godliness. Look up godliness. I mean, in the Message translation or Message version, they call it discipline. Honor, it could be Greek as honor or reverence. But I wasn't satisfied with that. I said, what does the English dictionary say? I rarely do this. And I went to the English dictionary, and it said something like this. One of the versions or definitions was conforming to God's laws and wishes. I thought, oh my gosh, conforming to God's laws and wishes. How would Bert say that? Doing or living, doing God's word and wishes. Look at Jesus doing God's word and wishes. Having a form of doing God's word and wishes, but denying the power thereof. The word power is dunamis in the Greek. We get our word dynamite from it. Marvelous power, miraculous power. I don't want a form of godliness, a form of doing God's word and living God's word and wishes, and deny the dunamis, deny the power of it. C.B. Williams translates that, not giving expression to its power. I want to give expression to God's power in my godliness, in my doing God's word and wishes. Are you getting anything? 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power, that same word dunamis, has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life, zoe, the eternal life, and godliness. There's that word godliness again. His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto doing God's word and wishes. Through the knowledge of him, through knowing him, who has called us, God, who has called us to glory and to virtue. The word virtue there means excellence or goodness. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Oh my gosh, look at this. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. But the word glory means splendor or God's presence. But listen to this. I've never seen this. The word glory can also mean the unspoken manifestation of God. Let that sink in. The unspoken manifestation of God. I don't hear it with my natural ears, but I can sure gain it. Oh, that's good. In the Spirit. I can sure understand it in the Spirit. The unspoken manifestation of God. That's what I want in my life. His glory. And if I take his goodness and understand his goodness and the unspoken manifestation of God, and I get knowledge of Christ, through the knowledge of Christ, being called to what he is doing, what he has called me to do, then I walk in godliness. Because that's how it gives me all things that pertain unto life and godliness and doing God's word and wishes. Does that make any sense? I hope it doesn't. I hope it goes right in your spirit, man. Right in your spirit, man. Hallelujah to the King. I don't have to understand it with my mind. Thank God. All I know is God is good. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And it's through the knowledge of him who's called me to do good and called you to do good and called you to walk in the manifestation, the unspoken manifestation of God, his glory, his presence. Hallelujah, the glory cloud. Why not? His divine power has given me all things that pertain unto doing God's will and wishes. His divine power, his dunamis, it's inside of you. Look at the person beside you and say, it's inside of you. So don't deny God's power. Don't deny the power of God's word and wishes. Accept it. Don't deny it by walking in a form of it. Accept it. Accept the power of God's word and wishes in your life. Well, somebody says, well, what are God's wishes? We know what the word is. What are the wishes? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish, I think it's pretty spelled out pretty clearly, or pray, one translation says. God is praying this for you. He wishes it for you through John, he's writing, the Holy Spirit. Above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So I guess one of the wishes of God is that we prosper and be in health. Somebody says, well, you mean financially? Well, why not? Don't let the money have you. You have the money. And then get rid of it. My wife's good at that. Because she's a giver. Hallelujah. But not just financial prosperity. There's all sorts of kinds of prosperity. Mental prosperity, emotional, social, all sorts of kinds. But let's take it just for a minute and look at financial prosperity, and God wants us, he wishes above all things that you may prosper and be in health. I mean, that's another kind of prosperity. Health, divine health. That's what we're believing for. Even as, Kenyon, E.W. Kenyon says, two of the largest words in the New Testament, even as, yet they're so small, even as, just like, even as your soul is prospering. So a prosperous soul is equal to a prosperous finances or whatever, and a healthy body. We were in a Bible study over in Shelby one night, and the Lord kept ministering to me, now, these words, I saw these words, now come at me, now. I've shared this here before, it bears repeating. Now, it came at me the third time. I thought, okay, I guess I'm supposed to start teaching now. I tried to start teaching. It didn't happen. I shared this verse and one other. And when I got to this verse, I said, I was trying to say a healthy soul is equal to a healthy body because I was teaching on healing. But it didn't come out that way. It came out a happy soul is equal to a happy body. And for some crazy reason, for over 40 minutes, we laughed about that, and among other things, and the Holy Spirit fell on the place, and we just burst out in laughing, in laughter, holy laughter. Pastor Scott says that's one thing he doesn't like or didn't like about the move of the Spirit of God. Guess who's going to be on the floor laughing? And what if he's on the floor laughing with Ed Soleil and Dan and me? We're all laughing. Maria Soleil may have to get up and preach. Now, when that happens, the Spirit of God's moving. Hallelujah. Why not? What if it happened? I've been in the presence of God. I've been in the move of God. Some of you have too. It's exciting. I used to go out and party. The old man, he died, by the way. Hallelujah. But there's nothing compared to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know the will of God, the wish of God, Mark 16:15 and Matthew 10:8. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. See, if we're doing that, we're proving out that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And we're an extension of his ministry on this planet. When the power of God begins to fall in this place in ways we haven't seen before, people are going to be drawn here, all sorts of people. Are you going to walk in love? Are you going to look beyond the fault to the needs of people? Because you're going to need to do that. We're moving beyond what we think church should be. We're no longer a form. Look at the person beside you and say, we're no longer a form. We're no longer a resemblance of what church should be. We're no longer a form of godliness. When I was pastoring this little church over in Shelby, I had a lady come up to me. She's gone to be the Lord now. But she came up to me and she said, we had these different kind of people coming to church, people with needs. And they didn't act like church people. They didn't know how to act. They didn't know what to do. They were needy. They were very needy. And she looked at me and she said, what kind of people are we attracting to this church? Oh my gosh, I was dumbfounded. I looked back at her and I said, the kind Jesus would want to minister to. Yeah. Yeah. Duh. Hello. Mark 7:13, the next scripture that Lord just jumped out at me. I mean, I've taught this all about the washing of hands and cups and all this stuff. I've taught all this section, but this is what the Lord ministered to me over the last couple of weeks. Making the word of God of no effect, of none effect through your tradition. Now, I'm sorry, I can't stay up here. I just can't stay up here. I'll come back up if you need me to. Hallelujah. So I wrote down, what does tradition mean in the Greek? It means a handing down or over. A handing down, if you like, a handing down or a handing over. Now listen to this. Listen to what God showed me. And maybe showed you far beyond this. Can you see me okay? I'll keep walking so you can see me. A handing down or a handing over. I can't even read my notes there. Anyway. Oh, not all of tradition is bad. And I'm not talking about a traditional church per se, even though I grew up in a traditional church. And let me tell you, it was beautiful. The building was gorgeous. The pipe organ would rattle your chest bones, your chest cavity. I was in a that's not called, that's not what I'm called, that's not nice. It's a rib cage. I couldn't think of what it's called. Thank you. Yes. I was in a wedding one time, and I'm standing there, and the pipe organ, they're hitting the bass notes on the foot pedals, and I'm going, whoa, man, it was powerful, beautiful, ornate. Now, I don't know about other churches, but I grew up in a church where John and Charles Wesley wrote a lot of the hymns. They're powerful, risen with healing in his wings, yet I never saw anybody healed. But I'm not talking about that kind of tradition. If that's religious tradition, yes, that can be included in this. But tradition is a handing down or a handing over. I'm meditating on that some. I wrote this, doing the same thing over and over because someone else handed it down and handed it over to you to carry on the tradition brings security. But what about this? That someone who handed it down or handed it over to you may be you. Tradition doesn't expect something different. Repeating the same action or non-action, hoping for different results. Maybe, or maybe not. There's another definition of that too, for that. Here's an example. If you prayed for yourself or for someone else and you didn't act on God's word or you didn't expect results in their life, you set up a traditional way of praying or thinking. I know I've done this. I've done this. I did it right here in this room in a four-year health seminar. And I prayed for her. We prayed for a lady, and she was instantly healed. Oh, that's because you're a minister. No, we're all ministers. That's because you're special. No, I'm not. Well, I am special in God's sight. But anybody can lay hands on somebody and see them instantly healed. There's a lot of factors that take place. My heart is, what about the people who don't receive? I want to minister to them and how to maintain it. But I looked at the person. They said, well, I'm not going to tell you what they said. But what they, roundabout way, they said this. I'm healed. I've received it. And I looked at them. I said, yes, but. It's okay if you have to walk it out. And they said, no, you don't get it. I'm healed. I said, no, but it's okay. I prayed with no faith. I had no expectancy of this. I was praying traditionally. I had set up a tradition in my mind that I'm going to pray for somebody, but it had been so long since I'd seen anybody instantly healed, I thought, well, they'll get it later, sooner or later. They just stand on the word. I have changed that tradition, blown it up in my head right now. It's no longer there. If you come up and pray and I get the chance to pray for you, you're getting healed, buddy. That's all there is to it. That's the only way I'm seeing it. I don't see it any other way. And I'm going to look at you and say, act on it. And if you don't act on it, that's your fault. Hard words. We came back from Atlanta and we instructed you to act on the word. I went to one of the premier faith Bible schools in the nation, in the country, in the world. Nation and country are the same thing. In the world. And Brother Hagin used to say, act like the Bible's true. Isn't that acting on the word? So we said that here. We just kind of came back and said that. And when we did, do something you couldn't do. After we prayed for you or after you received communion. And it was like a flash of light hit the place. Your thinking was changed. Unless you thought that way already. I just hadn't been thinking that way. I'd set up a tradition in my mind. I made the word of God of no effect. I rendered it powerless. Powerless through my tradition. So it's time to pray, act on God's word, and expect results, and God's power will be present. Can I hear an amen? Amen. See, it's time to let go of the form of godliness. It's time to let go of the tradition in our heads. So here's the personal example. We're at a restaurant one night a couple of weeks back with some friends of ours from Hendersonville. They've been here to this church before, and they're precious, precious friends. And she's been attacked physically in a lot of ways, and it's raining outside, and we're standing out there under the cover of this place, and the husband, her husband went to get the car. Joanne went to the car, was going to the car to get something for her, and Joanne turned around and said, "Oh, pray for her. Her right leg is in pain." And Joanne walks off. Wait a minute. Joanne's the one who laid hands on her godmother and the goiter left. Joanne's the one that's seeing results praying for people with healing. You want me to pray? Now, this is how the devil works. Are you listening to me? You want doubt. You want me to pray? Wait a minute, honey. Wait. In my head, I'm thinking, I'll wait till Joanne comes back and she'll pray. Boy, did I get rebuked right in here. So I said, okay, here we go. So I reached out to lay hands on her shoulder, and as I did, my little finger started vibrating. Now, if you weren't here and heard that story, that I'm not going to go into the detail, but there, my little finger was trembling. You know, sometimes God has to start with the small things in our life, you know, just to see if we're obedient, to see if we're, are you willing? Are you willing to let the power of God fall on you, and whatever happens is whatever happens? I mean, I had that happen 30 years ago. I was in a hotel room in Athens, Greece. And that night, I'll save that story. So the power of God began to tremble in my hand. I laid hands on her shoulder, and as I did, I just prayed a simple prayer. But I expected, I didn't wait on Joanne, the woman of God, to pray. I'm the man of God. You're the man or woman of God, right? We're believers. We do believe, don't we? And I laid hands on her, and I prayed a simple prayer in faith. And I looked at her, I said, now act on it. And she walked and got in the car. The next day, she called Joanne. She said, the pain left immediately, or it's gone. It's out of my right leg. It's gone. Hallelujah. She got healed. What I prayed for her. Now, well, here's the second side of the story. The pain left the right leg and went to the left. Oh, now we got a counterattack going on. Learn from that. Listen. Colossians 2:6. Are you getting anything? I have no idea what time it is. If I keep you long, I'm sorry. The presence of God, I'm still trembling. This happened in Atlanta. I got down there, and it started in my throat and went down in the core of my body, and I'm sitting there trembling, and the next thing I know, my little finger starts trembling, and I'm going, I'm looking at my hand. I can't do it. I cannot physically do that. I can't make it happen. And it did it for off and on for 2 days, and my hands weren't sore. And I was like, this is amazing. What is that? Ain't seen nothing yet, baby. No, we haven't seen it. I want to see it. I saw the glory cloud wisp in one night. I was leading worship with Don Horton in Greenville, in a church in Greenville, and I saw it wisp in the back. And I believe the people, if they'd been in one in praise and worship, it had come on in, and we wouldn't have been able to stand, and the power of God would have come into place, and amazing things would have happened, but they didn't enter in. Are you listening to me? Colossians 2:6, as you there have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's time, every person in this room, it's time for us to stop seeing ourselves the way we see ourselves. It's time to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Stop holding on to what you see. I would hate to think, I was on a beautiful river yesterday. I especially went to the river yesterday so I would be tired physically today, so I wouldn't preach out of my emotions and my physical energy. That was a weird thing to do, probably. But I was with two other guys, and I was in a canoe. They were in kayaks, and I was faster than them. So I'd get ahead of them, and I'd just pray in the Spirit. I just prayed in the Spirit almost all the way down the river. I got on the side of the river one time waiting on me, just prayed, worshiping God out there, hallelujah, lifting my hands before the Lord, just having a great time before God. But I would, as much as I love that sport, as much as you love horses, as much as you love whatever it is your passion is that Les was talking about, I would hate to think that's all there is here. I would hate to think that's all we've got. But I paddle with people, and that's all they've got. That's their life. It's their passion. They think about it all the time. That's all they want to do. That's what brings them joy in life. It really brings them happiness, and that leaves when they get off the river. So they have to think about it some more and go look at boats and think about them and all that stuff. Praise God. I would hate to think that's all there is. Stand on your feet if you would, please. I know this is so disjointed, and I love it. I hope you're having fun.
Amen.
Say this out loud. I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
What the Bible says I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I have the victory in Christ. I am more than a conqueror in Christ. As He is, so am I in this world. You can be seated. We're almost done. As He is, not as He was. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so He hasn't changed. So as he was in Galilee, as He was laying hands on the sick, as He was speaking to the sick and raising the dead, yes, we're that. But what is He now? The present-day ministry of Jesus. Do you know you have someone at the right hand of the Father interceding for you 24/7? Oh, there's more there. I can't go there yet. Acts 1:8, please. I said, God, they know this scripture. It's okay, listen. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Now, everybody say it. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. That's why we want the power. Unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Landrum, Lynn, Tryon, Green Creek, Gallinsville, the othermost part of the earth. I've been to the othermost part of the earth. It was in Cambridge Bay, Canada. There's nothing there but ice and igloos, Eskimos, and caribou. By the way, the word works up there too. You shall receive power. So I wrote this down. Enjoy God's presence. Enjoy God's presence. His glory. The unspoken manifestation of God. Receive the power of the Holy Ghost. That power is dunamis. It's the same power we talked about. That has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's the same power that we deny the power of godliness when we operate in a form of godliness, of doing God's word and wishes. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't answer this out loud. Think about it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't answer it out loud, but listen. Here's the question. Who did the talking? I was an English major, believe it or not. When I read this, I read it this way. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word utterance there means a prompting, an unction. Weymouth translates that, according as the Spirit gave them words to utter. There are people in here, I'm sure, who are scared of the Holy Spirit or scared of speaking in tongues. Maybe you are wanting to speak in tongues, but you have believed what I believed. Maybe. One of the things that may be hindering you is you felt like that the Holy Spirit had to speak. So when someone laid hands on you and the power of God was there, you opened your mouth, but you didn't say anything because the Holy Spirit was supposed to do the talking. Wrong answer. Thanks for playing the game, but wrong answer. The Holy Spirit will give you the unction, the prompting, the words. I've laid hands on people. I laid hands on my godmother, and she couldn't. It was like she said, "There's something there, but I don't know what." And I just kept my hand on her. The anointing of God was there. I just kept my hand on her, and I said, "Go ahead, speak that out. Just speak that out." And it came out, "Silibikuri." She said, "What's that?" I said, "That's it." She went around for a week or two. She called me on the phone. She said, "Bert, all I can say is silibikuri, silibikuri." I said, "Keep saying it." We prayed with her on the phone. Within a day or so, she called me back. She said, I got it. It's fluent. When I had hands laid on me, there was a little black lady. Can I tell you a story? I was in Athens, Greece. Remember that story? A few minutes ago. It was at nighttime. I think I've told this story before here, but I was at night. I may tell it again down the road. It was at night. I was fighting. I didn't want the Holy Spirit. I was scared. I didn't want to speak in tongues. I didn't want any of that. This is for some people in here. And the presence of God came in the room. It was like almost physically could hear it. I was by myself. I'd been sick. I drank the water or ate the food or did something over there. Been on a tour of the Holy Land with the 700 Club. I was the only young person on the group that wasn't spirit-filled. Had a girl that was really cute, and I started talking to her. She was older than me. She said, oh, I guess you're a carnal Christian. I said, yeah, I guess so. I didn't even know what that meant. She was insulting me. I had no idea what she was talking about. And I'm lying there, and the presence of God comes in the room. I'm lying on my back in the bed. The guy I was rooming with, he'd gone out with other people. I was too sick to go. I'm lying there on the bed, and the presence of God, I can't get my hands off the bed. God got my attention. And I knew it was the presence of God. And he spoke to me. Now, whether you were there or not, or audible voice or not, or in my spirit, in my head, well, I don't know. All it was audible to me. And he began to have a conversation with me. And I told him, I had just told him before I went on that trip to the Holy Land, I was a photographer and I wanted to photograph. And my parents said, we'll buy you the film. That back then, we had used film back then. I know you don't know what that is, some of you people. But we used film back then. It was kind of expensive to get it processed. And they said, we'll buy you all the color film you need. I had two cameras around my neck. I looked like photojournalist from Life magazine or something, taking pictures of camels and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it was just fun. I had a great time. But I wanted to work for the 700 Club. Get this, I wasn't even spirit-filled. I wanted to work for the 700 Club and people like that as a freelancer and send pictures to them. And I thought I could sell some of these pictures, and God had totally different plans. I'm lying on the bed. I can't get off the bed. God's speaking to me. And I said, but God, and he began to speak to me about working for him. And I said, I want to work for you, God, but I don't want those tongues. He said, don't you know I'd never give you anything to make you afraid or scare you? Because what he spoke to me was, as an English major, I heard it a weird way. He said, if you're going to work for me, the normal way would be to say you need more. But he got my attention. He used it almost incorrectly, I guess. If you're going to work for me, comma, you don't have it all. But, Lord, I don't want those tongues. Don't you know I never give anything to make you afraid or scare you? I said, okay, God. The presence left. I could move my hands off the bed. I could move my head off the bed. The next morning, I'm sitting in a hotel lobby in Athens, Greece, and this little black lady from Rockingham, North Carolina, or somewhere on the eastern part, was on the tour, and she came over, and she laid her hands on behind me like this. She got behind me, Eric, like this, in the hotel lobby, and she started praying for me. I could hear her praying in tongues. I thought, oh, my gosh, that's it. And she left and went back over here like this and was praying in the corner beside this window. And she walked over to my mother and whispered something to her. You know what she whispered to her later? She said, is it okay if I lay hands on your son to be filled with the Holy Spirit? God wants him to fill him with the Holy Spirit right now. In a hotel lobby, people. And mom said, yes, please. Because when I was a kid, mom turned me over to God. God, use him however you want to use him. She came over. She said, I was a black person from the South, and this boy was from the South, and I felt so unworthy to do this and uncomfortable. And she laid hands on my feet. And when she laid hands on my feet, she started praying and said, Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost. And it came all the way up my legs, up my body. When it got to my throat and my mouth, it came out. I thought I was going to say, Yogi Bear. But instead it came out loud. Framana kanama! Framana kanama! Framana kanama! And the people, I looked out of my tear-stained eyes, filled eyes, and these Greeks were walking around looking at me. It was all Greek to me and them, hallelujah. And I couldn't stop talking in tongues. We're getting on the airplane, and I'm talking in tongues. The people checking me through thought I was nuts. I don't care. I didn't care. There's more to that story. I'll stop. So God gives you the unction, but you've got to do the talking. Acts 10:44-46, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because they, the Gentiles, also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You don't have to be afraid of tongues. It's magnifying God. Somebody says, well, I don't understand it. We're not talking to you. They're magnifying God. Somebody said, was there interpretation? It didn't need to be. I don't think in that state. There are diverse kinds of tongues. Well, another story. Ephesians 5. We're getting ready to pull this in, believe it or not. Ephesians 5:18-20. I'm sorry, I'm sniffing. I'm just crying so much. The presence of God gets on me and I just start crying. Since I started coming to this church, this happened. It's your fault. Ephesians 5:18-20. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. Pastor Scott has read this over and over. But be being filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, it means continuously or be being filled. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody and grace in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a much better translation of verse 20. Let the sound of your singing... Or 19:20. Let the sound of your singing, let the music of your hearts go up to the Lord in unceasing thanksgiving for all that He sends you. I'm not thanking God for all things that the devil sends me. I'm thanking God for all things unto God. For all things unto God, the Father, that He sends me. See, I don't thank God for sickness. I thank God for healing. Well, I heard three people say amen on that. I said, I don't thank God for sickness. I thank God for healing. Anybody else in here? Hallelujah. I don't want to be sick. God doesn't want me sick. He's not sending it. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the, here's a part of a prayer we're praying and digging deeper. And to know the love of Christ, the love of Christ, the love of Christ. Look at the person and say, the love of Christ beside you. Which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amplified. I don't know if you got that or not. Oh, yes, she did. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. Hebrews 12:1, we lay aside those things, the weights, and the things that so easy, the sin that so easily besets us, we run with patience the race set before us. Becoming God conscious. Stop striving. Stop works. It's not works. You want the Holy Spirit to fall in this place? We want revival? Quit working. Rest, relax, welcome Him. Pray, yes, thank God for prayer. You're going to have to pray. To get your mind focused, to get yourself, to, you know, we're not begging God to come here. He's wanting to come here. But it's not works. It's not striving. I'm not struggling in this Christian life. I'm enjoying this Christian life. I'm enjoying the presence of God. Hallelujah. I've let go of those things which are holding me down. Hallelujah. Let go of it. Let go. Let go. If you're canoeing or kayaking a whitewater river, there's things you got to let go of. You got to let go of the way you think. Because you're getting ready to hit a rock, lean on the rock. What? 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 Because if you hit the rock and lean away from it, you're going to swim and lose your wedding ring like I did on the upper green. I did exactly what I was taught not to do. It goes cross-grained. The Spirit of God goes cross-grained to your unrenewed mind. That's good. Somebody write that down. The Spirit of God goes cross-grained to your unrenewed mind, to our unrenewed minds. If we're willing... If we're accepting and say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you. I surrender my little finger to the Holy Spirit. But I end up on the floor shaking, and Dan looks down and said, I want some of that. But I can think back 20 and 30 years ago when the Spirit of God would follow me. I just want to be susceptible to Him. When someone lays hands on me, I don't have to fall on the floor. But if I praise God if I do. Somebody says, do you have to talk in tongues when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? No, you don't have to. You get to. And if you go back, you say, what does this church believe? Go back to the co-laborer's notebook. I keep it over my desk. It is great. I went back and looked at what Scott and Teresa felt like about the Holy Spirit, what they interpreted that as here. And that's just one sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The true sign, the main sign, is your character of your life being changed. Hallelujah. Do you get anything out of this disjointed mess of words? I hope so, because I sure did. And it's so weird. I had the wildest dream last night, and I saw myself holding this microphone in my left hand. Isn't that weird? And the microphone went out. When they changed the microphone for me, I thought, this is what I dreamed. I saw myself doing this last night. I woke up. Something woke me up last night. And when I woke up, I was preaching this message. My spirit, my mind, my soul, were communicating last night. I was in the middle of the first point. It was just coming out. Oh, Jesus. Precious Jesus. We want your presence every day of our lives. Thank you for Ted and the people who are coming here and are praying, Lord God. Thank you for Darla and those and Susie and people who are praying. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for us being willing to accept what you have for this body. Because we'll see people set free. We resist the resistance. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit, God. Minister to your people's needs, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want Joanne and Donnie's to come up. They're going to go minister to a lady named Donna Farmer with Lou Gehrig's disease this afternoon. I want y'all to come up. I don't want everybody to come and lay hands on them. I don't want you to do that. I want you to reach your hand out toward them. Jesus. Father, we pray for Donna right now. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your spirit that will flow through these two ladies right now. As they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Thank you for Donna being open to faith. Open right now. Open to your word. Open, Lord God, to the healing power of God to flow through them. Thank you, Jesus. Let this anointing be transferred from all of us, from the Spirit of God to us, through us, to them right now in Jesus' name. Let it be flow, Lord God. Let it flow like a mighty river through them.